Rest Easy by Coprime. Rating: explicit. Archive warning: no archive warnings apply. Fandom: Daredevil Comics. Relationship: Matt Murdock / Foggy Nelson. Additional tags: fluff, smut, point of view Matt Murdock, clothes sharing, sex dream, hand jobs, getting together, comfort, a cozy night in, and love confessions. Summary: after a bad night out, Matt decides he needs a night in. Chapter 1. Matt needed a night off. He could acknowledge the truth of that. It had been a long week, a long month, chasing the latest organized crime gang who thought the shady reputation of Hell's Kitchen meant to be a good place for their smuggling operation. Criminals were always overconfident of their ability to outwit those who protected the city, and while he and Spider-Man had managed to bring down the operation last night with ease, it had been a long month of surveillance getting to the point where he could make his move. He'd gone out tonight, but had quickly realized he was too distracted to be effective, jumping at every sound, and every sound for him was a lot of sounds. As if they held the key to catching the organization he'd brought down last night. But he couldn't stop his mind searching out clues when he'd spent the month desperately seeking any hint or suspicion that would lead him to the place the organization had operated out of. And, in his distraction, a mugger had gotten the better of him. He'd taken a knife slash to the arm, which was, well, frankly, it was embarrassing. But he was no stranger to getting injured in the course of protecting people. No, what had made the decision for him to give up for the night and head back to his apartment, lonely as it was the moment the mugger had gotten his chosen victim in his grips again after Matt had lost track of the fight for a moment. He'd focused and corrected his mistake, and all had turned out well with the victim none the worse for wear. But he couldn't be making those sorts of mistakes when the innocent were relying on him. He'd nearly failed to protect someone tonight, and if he couldn't even stop a simple mugging without others being at risk, then there was no point in him being out on the streets. He tugged off the top half of his suit and flung it and his cowl away from him, paused, then sighed and retrieved them from where they'd landed after hitting the wall. He may have been inadequate, but leaving the daredevil suit to stink up his floor wouldn't help anything. After cleaning up and bandaging his wound, he was left with the question of what to do with himself. It wasn't often he found himself with a night where there weren't either things he should be doing, like working on a case or patrolling the streets, or specific plans he had, like a date or going somewhere with Foggy. God, it had been forever since he'd had a date. He'd been busy lately, but more than that, he'd been uninterested. The effort he'd need to expend getting to know someone new, finding space for them in his already hectic life, seemed like so much work, and he already had enough work in his life. The fact that Foggy was also currently single at this point in time certainly contributed towards his dating doldrums in a pattern he'd come to recognize, his interest in other people waning when his friend's free time was less constrained by competing priorities. He debated going out again, finding someone and losing himself in the sensual feast of a night of sex, but discarded the idea as soon as it came to him. It'd be fun, but it wouldn't help anything. He shouldn't be having fun when he'd messed up so badly. Tonight, he needed rest, to take his mind off things. Self-recrimination came easily to him, but wouldn't help him move forward. Tonight was a night for rare self-indulgence. Tonight was a night for the shirt. The shirt was actually an old sweatshirt of Foggy's, borrowed by him towards the end of their college career, and then never given back in the chaos of studying for and passing exams, then the bar, and quickly setting up their new law office as soon as the ink had dried on their licenses. By the time Matt had found it, it would have been awkward giving it back to Foggy. Besides, he hadn't wanted to do so. The shirt was a Columbia sweatshirt with a hood and front pocket, and Columbia's coat of arms emblazoned on the front. It had been a favorite of Foggy's before he'd outgrown it, at which point it had been shoved to the back of a drawer and forgotten about, until the chaos of their last semester left them with no time for anything but studying, not even laundry, and clothes which had been removed from the usual lineup of their wardrobe got unearthed, sniffed, and worn. The shirt was soft from all the times Foggy had washed it, and worn at the cuffs and collar. Its logo was cracked and faded, discernible to Matt's fingers when he traced the front, but only just. And at the time, it had somehow smelled like Foggy without having any of the chemical cheese dust that had overlaid so many of their belongings back in those days. Matt had worn the shirt to all of his final exams that year. Exams were typically lonely affairs for him, either him and his lecturer giving him an oral version of the test everyone else was taking, or him and a proctor alone in a room with a computer and a braille version of the test. He was used to it by then, but that year had been better, with faint wisps of Foggy accompanying him amidst the circulated indoor air. And after, Matt had accidentally packed the shirt up along with the rest of his clothes, and, well, Foggy had never said anything about Matt having it, so Matt hadn't either. He didn't pull the shirt out often, lest it become blasé to his mind through overwear, but tonight felt right. It no longer smelled of Foggy, of course. It already lost Foggy's scent by the time he'd refound it, but it was still warm and soft and worn into coziness. Course of action decided, he put on a Miles Davis record, changed into a pair of sweatpants and the shirt, laid down on his sofa and closed his eyes. It was almost peaceful, the sounds of the street muffled by Miles and the height of his apartment. If he put in the effort, he'd be able to hear where each siren vehicle was headed, but he wasn't doing that tonight. Miss Collins, two floors below, was burning her dinner, but as that was a twice-weekly occurrence, he wasn't concerned. He worked on relaxing, tensing different muscles in turns, then releasing them. He'd managed an almost doze, his mind clear and his senses untaxed, when a knock on his front door disturbed him. He brought his ears to bear and turned them outward to focus on what he could discern about the person out front his apartment. Foggy, what was he doing here? Matt's glasses sat on his nightstand in his bedroom, and he elected not to take the detour to retrieve them before answering the door. There wasn't any reason for Foggy to visit. They certainly hadn't made any plans, as Matt hadn't even intended to be home tonight. A key scraped in his lock when Matt was halfway to the door and Foggy entered. Matt raised a sardonic eyebrow and aimed at Foggy's direction. "Something I can help you with, Foggs?" "Matt," Foggy startled, "I didn't expect you in tonight." "Clearly," Matt agreed. He tilted his head, trying to get a read on Foggy, whose heart rate was increasing to a speed incongruous with getting caught doing a little light breaking and entering of his best friend's apartment. This was hardly the first time Foggy had let himself into Matt's home. No, Foggy said, clearly flustered. "I thought you might have accidentally brought home some of the papers I need to review for next week's trial." "Why would I have your papers? It's not like they'd be interesting reading for me," Matt teased. "I know. That's why I said accidentally. But they're not at my home or the office, so I thought your place was the next most likely answer." Matt waved Foggy in the direction of his briefcase with his uninjured arm. As Miles wound down between them, Matt recognized he was almost to the end of the record, and he went to choose a new one, pulling out sleeves just far enough to feel his braille labeling as he contemplated who next. Better than contemplating what else could have happened tonight. "So, why are you home?" Foggy called over from the small dining table where Matt had deposited his work items. "Anything weird going on I should know about?" Matt shrugged half-heartedly. "Just resting on my laurels for a night. Figured I'd earned it after rooting out that new mob who's been making trouble." "Uh-huh," Foggy said, sounding dubious, and Matt cringed internally. It was not his best excuse, especially to someone who'd known him as long as Foggy had. Rustling filled the room as Foggy continued to rifle through Matt's papers, and Matt switched from Miles Davis's trumpeting to Nina Simone's crooning, then flopped back down on his sofa, stretching his legs along the length of it and crisscrossing his arms over his abdomen, his hands folded in the pocket of the shirt. It was nice listening to Foggy potter about his space. Made it harder to wallow. Aha! That sounded like Foggy had found his papers, which meant he'd be out of Matt's hair soon. Foggy counted pages under his breath, and one hand of Matt's drifted up to the faded, mostly washed away heraldry covering his chest. The small individual flecks of ink still clung to the cotton, made a rough outline Matt could follow. The memory of college with Foggy, coupled with the reality of his scent and his noises. "Can I read this here?" Foggy asked, with the scrape of a chair across the floor as he made himself at home. "Shouldn't be long." "Go ahead," Matt answered with a yawn. "My papers are your papers. Literally, in this case." College had been stressful and awful in a lot of ways, and Foggy had... Well, at first Foggy had made the experience tougher, between the snoring and the assorted artificially flavored snacks, and the aggressive friendliness when Matt hadn't wanted a friend. But once Matt had gotten over himself, it turned out Foggy was an invaluable ally against whatever trials life threw in his path, something proven over and over throughout the years. So, having Foggy with him here now felt right. Matt knew what Foggy would say if Matt told him the true reason he was staying in tonight. That he hadn't failed. That taking a night off was good for him. That he had to trust other people could take care of themselves. But believing he was allowed to spend a night like this, at home, comfortable and relaxed, was easier when he could focus on the steady thumping of Foggy's familiar heart. The vague doze he'd achieved before Foggy had knocked returned with a vengeance. Matt yawned again, his hand slowing as his mind let go of his troubles and slumber settled in. He could rest. Foggy was here. Chapter 2. Dreams, or nightmares, were weird for Matt, with the two often blurring together in ways that left him unsettled. Sometimes he retained his sight when dreaming, even while he knew anyone he saw was incorrect, their visage pulled from the depths of his childhood memories. Tonight he dreamt of Foggy, of the one time he'd propositioned Foggy, but this time Foggy didn't politely turn him down by ignoring the innuendo underlying Matt's words. They were in their new office, their first office, their original office, the beginning of Nelson and Murdoch as a pair recognized by the world at large. They were frantic, pants hastily shoved down just enough to expose the necessary parts, the rest of their clothes undisturbed. Foggy bent over Matt's desk with Matt cocked deep in that glorious ass. This was early days, before they'd even met Karen, and they could be as loud as they wanted because this space was theirs. Foggy's cock dribbled cum, making a mess all over Matt's neat-as-a-pin desk while Matt fucked him hard. Matt could feel his orgasm approaching fast. Foggy turned his head to look at Matt and professed his love, and that wasn't Foggy's face. It was. Matt knew it was. Knew this was Foggy here with him. But Matt also knew this was the face of Mr. Ted the grocer spouting I love yous towards him. The incongruity, the wrongness of this moment, of Foggy but not, was enough to jolt him awake. His erection throbbed in unsatisfied need, and he ran his hands over his face, trying to reorient himself to the waking world. "Did you have, good dreams?" Foggy asked from across the room. His heartbeat thudded a twin rhythm to Matt's, crashing against Matt's groggy awareness and focusing that awareness on the solidity of Foggy. Living and breathing, the visuals of his face a mystery to Matt. It had been a dream because Matt wanted that, wanted to make love to Foggy and have his love reciprocated. It was a nightmare because the fantasy only had life in his dreams. Matt sat up, bending his legs and pulling his knees toward his chest, trying to hide his lap from Foggy. Had Foggy noticed Matt's excitement? Matt used his preternatural awareness of his own body to guide the biofeedback he received and will his dick into softness. They were... Matt struggled for how to answer, not wanting to tip his long-held hand to Foggy like this. They were fine. Not a nightmare, which is the best I can ask for most days. It'd be easier if Matt weren't wearing the shirt, wasn't filled with a yearning to regularly wake up with Foggy in his space like this. Foggy's heart still raced unnaturally, and Matt cocked his head. He could smell nervous sweat and feel a tinge more heat from Foggy's agitated body. His friend ran a hand through his hair and sighed. Matt, I feel ridiculous asking this, but why are you wearing my old college sweatshirt? Why do you still even have it? Ah, well, that was a fair question, he supposed. His ownership of the shirt would seem odd to Foggy since it wasn't like he wore the item in question around Foggy ever. He didn't need to. He had Foggy himself in those moments. Matt picked at the edge of a cuff. Figuring out what to say had at least taken care of the lingering effects of his dream. It's comfortable, he said, playing down the seriousness of his fondness for the shirt. That's all. Right, Foggy drew out. He made his way over to the sofa and stood in front of it, looming over Matt. Why don't I believe you? Matt turned his sunniest smile to Foggy. I would never lie when put on the stand, counselor. That'd be perjury. Foggy snorted in disbelief. Fudge over, he said, which Matt obligingly did, swinging his legs to the ground and sitting upright so Foggy could sit beside him. Matt found himself swaying into Foggy's space, drawn in as he ever was to Foggy's warmth, but lacking the resistance tonight to keep himself away. He leaned into Foggy's shoulder, and that was the shoulder connected to his injured arm, but he found it an acceptable position. The edges of the wound pulsed as his body slowly worked on knitting itself back together again, but he could ignore the odd sensation in favor of feeling the minute shifts of Foggy's body as he adjusted to Matt's weight. Foggy sighed, a long, drawn-out thing that began in his toes and pulled up his body until it exited him in an extended breath out. I'm not upset at you wearing my clothes, but it's weird. Clothes sharing is usually reserved for girlfriends or long-term partners, not platonic best friends. It's weird, and it makes me think things. So I wish for once you'd give me an honest answer about yourself, and then I can stop thinking things. Matt half listened to Foggy. Concentrating on Foggy's words seemed unnatural and taxing when he could sink into the sensory experience of Foggy as a whole, while in the background Nina sang about wanting some sugar in her bowl. He didn't have more of an answer to give either. The shirt was comforting, and sometimes even he could acknowledge he needed some sort of comfort. He shrugged. I need more than that, Foggy said as he poked Matt's arm. His bad arm. Matt winced, sucking in a breath with an indrawn hiss before consciously untensing himself. What was that flinch? Foggy rushed on without waiting for Matt's answer. Are you injured? What am I saying? Of course you're injured. When aren't you injured? Are you bleeding all over the inside of my sweatshirt? Because that's not cool. Let me see your no doubt grievous injury. Perhaps because he was still groggy with sleep, perhaps because it felt nice to be fussed over by Foggy at this moment. But Matt felt an impulse, and tonight he didn't deny it. He cupped Foggy's chin with his good arm, leaned over, and kissed Foggy's cheek. Soft and sweet. Perhaps it was because he had no words that could explain to Foggy why he was wearing Foggy's old sweatshirt, why he'd kept it, but that kiss did. Matt released Foggy and waited for the fallout, curious what it would be. He'd already been an incompetent daredevil tonight, dangerously so, and this was merely an expansion of that. What was that? Foggy demanded. He leaned away from Matt, and Matt didn't follow him, though it would have been easy to slump against Foggy's angled posture and rest there. You're being very confusing tonight, and I don't like it. Matt hunched down in the shirt. Its comforting embrace still gave him the fortitude to prevail through an upcoming test. Only now the test was explaining his feelings to Foggy. The answer to your question about why I'm wearing the shirt, your shirt, do you remember when I first borrowed it? It's not borrowing if you never return it, but yes. End of 3L, when I was so cross-eyed with stress and sleep deprivation, you had to steer me away from walls. And between my nerves and your extra, extra, extra strength coffee, I was practically shaking out of my skin. I wore this sweatshirt to my exams, and it kept me coherent enough to pass. Matt smiled fondly, remembering, and Foggy's breath hitched. It's always been a comfort to me, in absence of you. Matt. Foggy sounded strangled, unable to force out anything more than a desperate plea shaped like Matt's name. Matt took a deep breath and plunged on. All or nothing tonight. He'd failed and could give nothing as Daredevil, but he could give Foggy all. And it's a comfort because I love... His confession cut off when Foggy caught his mouth in a hungry kiss. Matt cupped Foggy's cheeks, warm and soft and squishy under his palms, even with the slight rasp of Foggy's evening stubble, and kissed him back. "Your arm," Foggy gasped, breaking away just enough to breathe the words onto Matt's lips. Matt replied, "I'm fine," and swung himself to sit on Foggy's lap, straddling him. Matt pressed in, taking advantage of the better angle to taste all he could of Foggy. Foggy grabbed Matt's waist, firm, holding Matt in place, as if Matt wanted to be anyplace else. Foggy's own eagerness, nipping at Matt's lips and groaning, was a heady drug. Unlike Matt's dream, every detail of Foggy he could perceive was correct, right, solid, and real. The smell of his sweat, the electric beat of his blood, his mass a foundation Matt could lose himself in without worry. Foggy's erection burned hot next to Matt's, even through the layers of cloth separating them, and Matt rutted against him. He was close, his banked ardor returning in full force, and he wanted more. He let go of Foggy's tantalizing cheeks to shove his sweatpants down and fumble Foggy's zipper open. Cocks now free, Matt took Foggy's in hand and was rewarded with Foggy swearing. The underside of Foggy's belly brushed across his knuckles as he stroked Foggy, and fuck. He wanted to frot against that belly so badly, but he knew things would be over if he did. Foggy babbled, "Matt, I'm close, I'm so close." His grip on Matt tightened, his fingers digging into Matt's hips. Matt hoped they'd leave bruises. Matt wanted to push Foggy over that edge, wanted to smell Foggy as he came, before he lost himself to his own orgasm. He kept his strokes light, not wanting to chafe Foggy or cause him to cry out in pain rather than pleasure. But he could. He reached down with his unoccupied hand and cupped Foggy's balls, rolling the delicate sacks in his palm. Foggy cried out, a wordless shout of pleasure, and then he was coming, his muscles frozen, holding Matt in place as his orgasm washed over him. Fluid splashed their shirts and coated Matt's hand, and the salty tang of semen drowned out his ability to smell anything else. Matt fisted his own erection, pulling hard, using the mess Foggy had made to slick his way. It was too much. Foggy under him, panting as he tried to catch his breath. The stretch in his thighs from spanning Foggy's lap. The smell, God help him, the smell. It was Foggy's, aggressively so. And with each stroke it soaked into Matt's skin. His cock would smell of, would remind him of, this moment for weeks. The thought of smelling like sex and Foggy and sex, pushed him over that teetering edge and he choked on air as he came. He collapsed onto Foggy, his muscles no longer up to the task of supporting him in their post-sex lassitude. The two of them breathed together in companionable inarticulacy, until Foggy broke the silence. "My sweatshirt and my shirt are now ruined, you realize." Matt smirked, pleased with that outcome. Foggy shifted, turning his head. At Matt's expression, he thunked his head against the sofa back and sighed. "Of course you'd like that." He snuck a hand under the shirt and stroked Matt's back. Matt snuggled in closer. "And I like a smug Matt Murdock, it turns out," he continued, sounding fond. "Just like?" Matt asked. Tonight had been a ride emotionally, and Matt thought he knew where they stood now, he and Foggy, but still he wanted confirmation. "More than like," Foggy assured. "Love." Matt yawned. Foggy made for a decidedly comfortable pillow, and a nap sounded good. Really, he could go to bed right here. Matt. Foggy jostled him, which he ignored. "Matthew, you're not falling asleep on me like this. At least let me get my pants either off or back on." Foggy tried to move, but Matt was too relaxed to do anything but play the immovable object to Foggy's resistible force. "Matthew Michael Murdoch, if you don't stop trapping me on this sofa." The threat was empty, Foggy still running a soft hand up and down Matt's back. After a moment where Matt very much did not stop trapping Foggy, Foggy gave up trying to move and relaxed back into the cushions. "I lied. I don't like Smug You. Smug You is a menace." Matt kissed Foggy's cheek. "Love you too." The end. Thank you for listening.